It's a good possibility that tonight we may only get to preach between the miracles, but at least we must preach, for God does not confirm Time Life, Newsweek magazine, and the Reader's Digest. He only confirms His Word. And we don't believe in just preaching it and closing the book without putting it into practice and into action. I'm sure that when it's fulfilled and finished, God will confirm it mightily with supernatural signs and wonders. Amen. Ah, hallelujah. And so tonight, out of the fifth chapter of John, we're going to learn something that's very excitable. John chapter 5. Do you remember the message from last night? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Which meant that as long as you cannot be offended by anything Jesus wants to do or to say in the meeting, no matter what he wants to do, as long as it don't offend you, you will be blessed. And how many got blessed last night? You got free of all offense and you got blessed. Hallelujah. Well, tonight's is a message that sort of goes along with that, and it also includes John. Jesus refers to John in the beginning of the reading. He begins to talk about how John bear witness unto the truth in verse 33. And he talks about, I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He, that was John the Baptist, was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. Last night we dealt with the witness of John, but there's greater witness than that. Hallelujah. I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. I'd like to underline that second sentence of verse 38, that last sentence there. Let's read that twice together. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Let's read it once more. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. That's another way of saying whatever God sends you, you're going to have to believe it. I mean, there's a lot of people in Minden that whatever God has sent them, they believe it not. Whatever God sends them, they receive it not. What we're really talking about here, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not, is that whatever God sends you, whether it's a him or an it or a thing, you have to believe it. You have to receive it. Or you're in the category of the indictment that Jesus is listing here in the last half of chapter 5. Read on, preacher. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Okay? And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Now there's a lot of knots in this chapter, or from the beginning here where I started reading. There's an awful lot of knots. How many let you get the knots out tonight? Hallelujah. See if you can trace these knots. They're very important to find here. Ye have not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Have you located a few more knots? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Lord, I thank you tonight for the reading of this passage. May it be rich and quick and powerful. and sharper than any two-edged sword, pierce now to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and be a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of every heart. Even now let the Spirit and the Word agree to set people free, and may this reading of the passage tonight be a delight unto our soul indeed. I thank you for answers that are arriving by the moment. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is talking this particular day on how that he appreciated John. Last night we learned that you could not follow John the Baptist, you had to follow Jesus. His disciples came from the prison in which John was doubting. The greatest prophet that ever lived doubted. He was sending out feelers, vibes, fleeces, signs, tests, exams, trying to find out if he'd made a mistake with his life. He was wanting to know whether or not that he should believe what he had already seen and believe his own eyes, or should he just throw it over and kick over the traces. I'm glad to report tonight that he found out that what he had seen was still true. There's nothing any different than what we've already received. We've got to make the most of it. It's the same Jesus, there won't be another Jesus. Same Holy Ghost, there won't be another Holy Ghost. Same Bible, won't be another Bible. Hallelujah. It's the same gospel, there won't be a new gospel. So you better make the most of it, my friends. So John was a burning and a bright and shining light. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light, but every puppy has his day. You are serving your generation today. You better serve it well. We have no promise that you'll serve it tomorrow. So you better make the most of it tonight. Wondering why the preacher bends his ear? He's listening for a response. Amen, oh me, or oh my, one of them will fit you. The microphone is rather portable. We can come down and pick out the quiet spot tonight and preach if we have to. It's so long that nobody, this cord is so long, no one in the building can escape us. If we get to searching for our father's mules. Well, Saul, son of Kish, was searching for his father's mules one day. I know my father's got a few mules. I just hope I don't find any of them. Hallelujah. But I know they're around. So he refers to John and says, John lasted for a while, but I've got greater witness than John. Amen. The works that my Father have sent me to do, these works bear witness of me. Now, Jesus one day said, you may hate me, you may not be able to stand me, you may not be able to take the message I bring you, but if you can't believe for no other reason, you must believe for the work's sake. Well, I mean, we can trust our own eyes, our own ears, and our own spirits. We can trust the Holy Ghost God has given us. If God confirms the Word, why then we have to believe that which heaven hath sent us. Like last night's message was, if you could get offended by anything, you can't be blessed. Tonight's message is, he whom the Father has sent, him you receive not. Or what God sends you, you better receive it and you better believe it, or you come into the category of the nots, better known as the have-nots, which is the real subject on which I'm speaking tonight. There's some have-nots in John chapter 5. And my friends, the have-nots don't live down across the tracks. They don't live in a little shack by the side of the road. The have-nots are not down on Skid Row or down at the Bowery or in the soup line or in the welfare line or in the Goodwill handout line. Amen. There's a lot of have-nots I know that's got $1 million. There's a lot of have-nots that's got the world by the tail, they think. But they have not because they have not received what heaven has sent them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this theme tonight, I want to follow it through. Jesus said, my miracles or my works bear witness of me. My Father in heaven bear witness of me. Now make no mistake, God is a spirit. It's the greatest revelation in the Bible, that John 4:24. God is a spirit. Anybody that worships God got to get in the spirit to do it. He cannot condescend to stoop any lower than his own essence. So you have to get in him to be contacting him. Amen. Oh, God is Father, God is Spirit, God is invisible, God is everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. He fills the universe. By Him all things consist. In Him we live and move and have our being, or we couldn't be breathing here tonight. Are you living? Are you moving? Do you have your being? Some folks let the doctor cut out half of theirs. Hallelujah. Ah, listen here. So I believe that God is Father, God is Spirit, God is invisible, God is in every place. He's holding the universe together. He's here tonight. You just cannot find Him because you can't see Him. He's invisible. But you can feel Him. Jesus taught it. He said, the wind blow where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes to, but so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Now, speaking of Jesus Christ, we're talking about the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The body of God. The point of contact by which you find God. God fills all in all. How am I going to start looking for God? Should I start at Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, Pluto? Which galaxy? Which Milky Way? Which universe? I could be confused. But if I find Him in the face of Jesus Christ, I have gone through the body to get to the Spirit. I've gone through the Son to get to the Father. I have gone through the rent veil, which is to say His flesh that was rent on Calvary, to get into the Holy of Holies. Now I know where to start looking. Now the Bible teaches you the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the image of that invisible God. When you come right down to it, the Godhead is nothing more than one body and one Spirit. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Hallelujah. That puts us all in the same family. When I look in the mirror, I find that I am body and Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm made in His image. I am created in His likeness. Thank God I love Him. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying the Spirit of God or the Father or God has borne witness of Him. The Spirit beareth witness tonight. How many can feel the witness of the Spirit? And His miracles bear witness of Him. So He has greater witness than John. If he really wants to get into it, he can say the prophets bear witness of Him. The Word of God bears witness of Him. All the saints who became saved under His ministry bore witness of Him. Hallelujah. Ah, yes. And he's talking to a bunch of religious people that felt like they knew it all. And he said, listen, God is sending you something straight from heaven and you won't believe it. You won't receive it. Now, I know that doesn't fit you folks' category tonight, because last night everybody received what God sent them. But just in case there might be somebody doubting in John's prison. Somebody wondering, hey, I thought I was healed. I wonder if it's still going to take. I wonder if I'm going to be able to keep it. I say to you folks tonight, whatever heaven sends you, get ready to receive it. Because if you do not believe it, and you refuse to receive it, you're going to plant yourself smack dab in the middle of the company of have-nots. Now, the have-nots are not just poverty-stricken people, uneducated people. Have-nots are only those people who refuse to believe what heaven sends. They do without. They are without. Like Peter who followed Jesus afar off to Caiaphas' judgment hall and hid behind the door. Without. He was at the door without. If you don't go through the door that God opens for you, you will do without. You will be without. Everything about you will be without. How will you be without everything God wants you to have? So here, Jesus says, ye have not heard His voice. Who's He talking to? He's talking to people that have been presented with heaven's most precious gift, and they have believed it not. That gift of God, which was eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Greatest gift. I know there are people interested in gifts today, but the greatest gift was eternal life through Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus is presenting Himself onto this world, and they receive Him not. Therefore, He tells the religious people, He says, ye have not heard His voice. Did I read it in there? Did we both read it in there? If it's in there, is it safe to bank on it? Can we count on it? Will it work for us? Everything that has happened in this service tonight so far has been on credit that we preach the Word. Everything that will happen after the preaching of the word will be in confirmation to the preached word of God. Ye have not heard his voice. That's what he said. And he's talking to people who would not believe upon him whom he hath sent. Remember the little phrase, last half of verse 38. We're using that for a textual, topical message here tonight. And there's people all over Minden that goes around telling you, hey, I heard the voice of God. Amen. Well, God told me this, and God told me that, and God told me something else. Do you know that in the Old Testament they had one chance, and that was they better be right. If it was a prophet that prophesied a lie, it was stones, my friend. They stoned them to death. It's called truth or stones. Everybody say it with me. Truth or stones. And if you had truth or stones in the New Testament, you'd have a lot less folks standing around saying, well, you know, me and God were talking just a few minutes ago. We carry on a 24-hour conversation every day. People that have the gift of suspicion, sometimes they think they have the word of knowledge. Other people think they have discerning of spirits, and it's the gift of imagination. Do you want to know whether or not you really heard God's voice? Some say, well, I thought it was God. I believe it was God. But I can tell you how you can know if it was God. Are you receiving what heaven sends you? Have you believed upon he whom he hath sent? What God sends, do you believe it? Do you receive it? If you cannot receive what God sends you, you can stand around all day long saying, God told me this and God told me that. And Jesus said, ye have not. You have not. Ye have not heard his voice. Oh, maybe this is a little bit negative tonight, but it's good for some of us that want to be positive. You can't have a positive without a negative. The whole universe will fly apart. That's why God allows the devil to keep on roaming the earth. But it'll soon be over with when we have a new heaven and a new earth. When the old boy's bound in the pit for 1,000 years, it'll soon be over with. Everything will be positive then. Oh, yes. You have not heard his voice. So if you plan on hearing God's voice and you want to know for sure if you've ever heard his voice, take a little inventory and see if you have received what God hath sent you. If you've believed upon he whom he hath sent. Or what he hath sent. You can insert in this verse he or what. It's the same difference. Whatever God wants to do for you, can you receive it tonight? Then you won't be a have not. But you will rather hear his voice. Oh, earth, 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 hear ye the voice of the Lord. Have an ear to hear what the Spirit would say unto his church. Last night was, the message was, if you can be offended by anything, you won't be blessed. Tonight is, if you cannot believe and receive what heaven sends you, you will be a have not. We're having a little clinic here these couple of nights on brushing up and practicing up on what God wants to do to us. Hallelujah. Ye have not heard his voice, ye have neither seen his shape. Well, the second have not was the folks that have never seen his shape. If you want to know what shape God is in, he's in good shape. Hallelujah. And if you receive what he wants to send you, you'll be in pretty good shape too before this night's over. Now you can talk about God by the hour and by the mile, and the world will talk you down. Oh, they'll chime right in and they'll just talk God, 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 God. But don't mention Jesus, whatever you do. I said, don't mention the name of Jesus because you make them nervous and they clam up. They won't talk about God no more. Now, why is that? That is because they don't know anything about the shape of God. Hallelujah. That is because their God could be their bank account. Their God could be their fishing boat. Their God could be their new car, their new house, their children. Their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Almost said husband or wife. Are you listening to me? Whatever you worship, some people get up and just worship their music. Oh, I love that music. Oh, never mind God. Never mind trying to worship the Lord here. I'm just worshiping this music and it becomes an idol. Say hallelujah. Anything gets ahead of God's an idol. Anything gets his time, his effort, his energy, his attention, his worship, his adoration. Brother, that's idolatry. Whether it's a god of wood, stone, plastic, cement, porcelain, fiber, glass, gold, silver, tin, aluminum, whatever it's made out of. Made in Detroit, made in Hong Kong, made in Taiwan. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. And so you can talk about God forever. Now, the Buddhists, they like to talk about God because to them, God is Buddha. And the Mohammedans, they like to talk about Mohammed and Allah. And then there's those Hare Krishnas and those Confucius, confused ones. And then there's Mary Baker Eddy and Brigham Young and Joseph Smith, but they're all dead today. There's only one of them that ever created a world religion, ever lived to tell about it. And his name is Jesus. He's alive. The rest of them never promised eternal life. They never even mentioned the grave or beyond. They never thought there was anything beyond death, and they only promised you a philosophy for life while still in the flesh. But Jesus, it was going to do more for you after you died than he ever did before you died. I said, he'll do more for you in the next world than he'll ever do for you in this one. Hallelujah. Ah, thank God. They're all dead, but Jesus still alive. And the world will talk about God to no end. Why? You can play records about God as long as you tell stories about God. But when you mention Jesus, the reason they get nervous is because you are now designating which God you're talking about. You're designating the Almighty now. You're designating the God of righteousness and holiness that created all things. And that requires a little bit of repentance from those who speak on the subject. That requires a little bit of paying their dues. And that hauls them into line. And they begin to feel the need for righteousness. And that bugs them. And it bothers them. And that's why they clam up. So you see, talk about God forever, but you start talking about Jesus, you are designating which God you're talking about. In a world of chaos and confusion, aren't you glad you have found peace from the Prince of Peace? Now, Jesus said he had never seen his shape. And that was because the Pharisees were rejecting he himself, who was the shape of God. You see that? He was God's shape. For God is invisible and God is everywhere. How am I going to find him? I must find some point of contact and some tangible starting place. And I find him in Jesus, right? Now I begin to see God has a shape. He has a means by which that he's contacting human beings, mankind. Oh, he can manifest in a flame and in a fire and in rain and a wind and all kind of things. Even spoke to an old mule one day and the old mule spoke in tongues. Well, it was other tongues for the mule. He was just braying up until then. I didn't say praying. I said braying. All he could say till then was hee-haw, hee-haw. Hallelujah. But now there are people that think they know all about the shape of God. And Jesus says, you're a have-not. Ye have not seen his shape. You don't know his shape. You wouldn't know his shape if you run into it. Because you're refusing to accept what heaven is sending you today. Can you understand this message? It's simple. Now he says, have not, number three, are you listening to me? Ye have not his word abiding in you. That means anyone that will refuse what God wants to send them tonight doesn't have his word in them, no matter how they claim to be a walking pulpiteer or puppeteer or whatever that is. No matter how they claim that they know Scripture, they've memorized it by the chapter and by the book, and they can quote on and on. Jesus said, you don't even have God's Word in you if you cannot accept what God wants to send you right now. Amen. Ye have not believed upon he whom he hath sent. Hallelujah. He whom he hath sent, ye receive not. Oh, so that makes you the first of a bunch of knots, a sort of a knothead. Ye have not heard his voice. Ye have not seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. Now there's three have nots. Shall we proceed? Hallelujah. Now Jesus said, ye have not number four. Amen. You're not down on poverty row here when you become a have not. All you're going to do is reject what God's trying to give you right now, and you'll automatically be a have not. To the fourth have not, he said, ye have not searched the scripture. In it ye only think ye have eternal life, but these are they which do testify of me. There's a lot of people that claim that they do nothing but study, and they're a Bible student, and they know every tense of the word. And poor old Paul, we talked about last night, was on the road to Damascus, knew everything there was about religion until he met the Lord. Then he didn't know who the Lord was. And he cried, who art thou, Lord? And he had to be a divine revelation was crashed in upon his brain when the answer came back. Said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecute. Well, he found out who the Lord was after all his years of religion and going to the synagogue. Hallelujah. Ye have not searched the scriptures. So, no matter how many years you spent in Bible school, if you will not receive what God wants to hand out to you right now, your searching's been in vain. Hallelujah. You haven't really searched till you found anything. You've been flipping through the book trying to find a scripture to fit you, when you ought to be reading it to try to fit the scripture. Hallelujah. You only think you're saved. I'm sure glad I didn't have to preach this. I'm glad it's not my words. Jesus said, you only think you got eternal life. You only think you're saved. Ooh, that's heavy. But he said it. You know why he said you only think you're saved? It's because he was standing right in front of them trying to give himself to them, and they rejected him. And yet they claimed that they were God's pick of the litter. Amen. The cock of the walk. Just the elite religionist. And yet they only thought they were saved. Because you can really be saved until you accept whatever God wants to do to you or send to you. Whatever or whoever he sends your way, you will have to receive. Now, I didn't tell you to receive what he didn't send. But it won't take you much time to figure out if God sent a man or not. It won't take you too long to figure out if God sent you a miracle or not. It shouldn't be too hard to figure out whether you're healed or not. Whether you feel the Holy Ghost or not. You understand my preaching now. And if you can't receive what God sends, well, you can go to the Bible school till you die. And the scripture said you haven't really searched the scripture. And you only think you're saved. Because if you'd really searched, you'd have found out that every scripture testified of me, Jesus said. Yeah. Oh, thank. Don't you want these scriptures to testify tonight? Oh, somebody testify. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope that you'll be able to say in your testimony, I've gone and made it right so I can testify tonight. I've been with Jesus all day long. Whatever God has sent me, I've received it. Hallelujah. I'm happy. Oh, glory. Ye have not, this is the fifth have not. Wow, we got a lot of have nots around, don't we? Ye have not come unto me that ye might have eternal life. People have run to all kind of things, all kind of meetings, all kind of circuses and carnal evils. I said circuses and carnal evils. Amen. They have gone to all kind of retreats and seminars. They have gone to all sort of meetings and... Amen. But if in your efforts you don't come to Christ, you have not. You won't have no life in you. You can say, oh, wasn't that a wonderful meeting we had today? If you've never been allowed to see a wonderful meeting or a real meeting, how would you know the difference? You would be deluded. You would have to accept it because somebody said it was. But when you have an experience yourself, it's better felt than tell. A man of an experience has more than a man of an argument. If it ever happened to you, you know that you know that you know that you know that it happened to you. You have not come on to me, said Jesus to these religious folks, that ye might have eternal life. And all I got to do is look at the death in you, said Jesus, and I know you've been nowhere near me. Whoa, glory. Is it possible that there are folks that make a tremendous effort to go many places but fail to go closer to Jesus? Draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto you. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Beware lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hence we know that if we get closer to the living God, we will have a heart of faith instead of an evil heart of unbelief. Good heart of faith. Oh, glory. Ye have not, Jesus said, ye have not the love of God in you. Now some say, I don't shout so loud about this message tonight, Brother Freddy. Well, if the shoe fits. Not every message can let you shout on earth. Some messages make you line up so that you can make heaven to shout over it forever. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ye have not the love of God in you, but oh, Sister Gushy. Just gush all over you. Ooh, dearie, I love you so. We love you so. And all the time, you better be careful. There might be a knife there underneath your fifth rib. Hallelujah. Yes, they can tell you how much they love you. And they appreciate you. And all the time, you can tell that the something's not quite right here. And you know what's not quite right? They have rejected what heaven sent them. I don't care who tells you how much they love you. If they won't accept what heaven sends them, then Jesus said, there have not. And they have not the love of God in them. Is this practical theology tonight? Is this sound teaching tonight? Oh, be careful of people who reject what God sends their way and then come around and throw their arms around and say, oh, I love you, sister. Oh, I just fulfilled the love of God. God is love and I just fulfilled with love. Jesus said, you don't even have the love of God in you. He said, you have not the love of God in you if you cannot believe on he whom the Father sent. He that has been sent, him ye believe not. What has been sent, that ye believe not. What God wants to give you, that you won't or can't receive. Then there's no point of saying you have the love of God, said Jesus, because you don't, and you have not. Ye have not. How many hopes that we turn out to be a bunch of haves tonight? I don't want to turn out to be a have not, do you? If there can be a have not, that's a negative. Then there must of necessity be a have, which is a positive. I want to have the love of God, so I guess I'll accept everything God wants to send me in this thing tonight. The indictment goes on here. Wow, he said, ye have not received he who came in the Father's name. Amen. Now, Jesus came in the Father's name. But I can't think of no other name that he came in. In fact, I can't find another name that he came in. There's no other name among under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. Now, of course, Jesus is not all there is of God, because God fills the universe. He's the body of God, and he has the name by which the Father intends to be revealed. Intends to be exposed, intends to receive the world unto himself through this body that hung upon the cross. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Another said, Jesus will come in his own name. You put up the lights and everybody say, wow, so-and-so's here. A Hollywood star or a gospel superstar or a so-called spiritual giant is coming. And oohs and the ahs and the wonderments and ohs, and this is going to be great. And Jesus said, well, I am come in the Father's name, and you won't even receive me. He said, therefore, you have not received me. I don't care how you Jews claim you love God, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Moses God, or anything else. You have not received that God that you're thinking about and that you claim you worship. You have not received his name. Amen. He said, another comes in his own name, you receive him. Well, what's the big difference here? I'll tell you what the big difference is. The devil fights it. The devil knows that if he can block it, he can keep folks from heaven and he can take them all to hell with himself. You've got an extra additional factor involved here. Satanic opposition. The devil's lost his chance. He wants you to lose yours. Hallelujah. I am come in my Father's name. And of course, the only name he came in was Jesus. And because they wouldn't accept him, they wouldn't accept Jesus, therefore they of necessity had to reject the Father. And had to reject the Father's name. So ye have not received the Father's name. Don't reject what God wants to give you tonight. Whatever God wants to do in this meeting, go ahead and accept it, because if you reject it, no matter how you claim to be First Pentecostal, you have rejected the Father's name. Is that heavy? But true. Hallelujah. Quickly, let us go on here. There's lots of works that has to be done tonight, and that'll tell the tale for sure. Ye have not sought the honor that cometh from God only. He said, I don't understand you people, Jesus said. Why, you seek honor from one another, and you want each other to pat each other on the back. You scratch my back, and I'll scratch your back, and you come do business with me, I'll come over there and do business with you, and you put in a good word for me, I'll put in a good word for you, and we'll honor one another, and you're always seeking some honor from man. How is it ye have not sought the honor that cometh from God only? My friends, I want to accept whatever heaven wants to do to me tonight. Because I need the honor of God only. I don't need no honor anywhere else. If no one else on earth ever honored me, if God would honor me, it'd be worth my day, it'd be worth my life, it'd be worth this night. I'm about to pray the prayer of faith here in just a few moments. I'm going to have God honor me. I'd be a great big fat idiot to ask people to come up here suffering unless I knew God was going to do something about it. I'm either nuts or I know something. Say hallelujah. I want God to honor me. Don't you want God to honor you? Oh, have you sought the honor that comes from God? Have you got any honor from God? Well, you'll never have it if you reject in any way whatever God wants to pass you away this evening. Everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. That means that he'll go places, but he'll only go places where he can do something. He's busy. He's always busy. He's building mansions, robes, and crowns right now. It's almost finished. Only took 6 days to make the entire universe, and the seventh day he rested. He's been gone to heaven now 2,000 years working on that place. I don't know what in the world he's making up there, but I sure don't want to miss it. I want to go take a good hard look at it for a long, long time. Hallelujah. I said he is a busy God, and he uses busy people, not busy bodies. But he does use busy people. Now, if you pass out a menu at the door and they're at 8:05, we're going to have testimony, and 8:09, we're going to have choir loft. And at 8:11, we're going to have a sermon for the Christian Inn. And at 8:20, we're going to have offertorio. And at 8:23, we're going to have Mrs. Constralto singing High Confalto. Amen. They don't call brother and sister where they have to call Mr. and Mrs. You can't. I was in a meeting one time, and they introduced me as Mr. Clark. I began to feel for the same kindred spirit that I was used to. I couldn't find that same spirit. And I began to realize why they called me Mister. There wasn't no kin to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that right? Worse than that, they introduced me as Mr. Clark as the speaker of the evening. And I said, now, folks, God called me to be a preacher. Now, you want to see what a speaker is? That, there's a speaker. There's one. There's a speaker. Speaker has no life except with an outside source of supply, but my source of supply is on the inside of me. So I'm a preacher. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him whom they have not heard? How can they hear about a preacher? How can he preach except to be sent? How beautiful upon the mountains the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. Bring glad tidings of great joy. The Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hello. I'm seeking some honor tonight that comes from God only. And if at 8:30 they have benedict us, and head on home to watch pistol smoke. Then they're all done at 8:30, and they've had their menu at the door. One janitor mopped his brows, he swept the rug, and said, "Shee, I've seen everything in this church but the work of God." On Monday, they have bean supper. On Tuesday, they have a rummage sale. On Wednesday, they have the ladies' tea party. On Thursday, they have the Boy Scouts. On Friday, they have bingo until the government caught them for gambling. On Saturday, they have a dance, and on Sunday, they try to have church at least one Sunday morning a month. He said, "I've come to the conclusion that the closest thing to heaven in this place is the steeple." He said, "Well, they've ate so many chicken suppers and had so much ice cream and crackers and tea parties in this place." He said, "They're as dead as the chicken, as cold as the ice cream, as dry as the crackers, and as weak as the tea." He said, "I probably wouldn't be here myself, but they're paying me." Hallelujah. Can you handle it? I'm talking about let Jesus have his way. Whatever he wants to do for you tonight, let it happen. He's come here to do something. Let him do something. Everywhere as he went, he was doing good. Said, "Oh my, I don't really dare to open up my spirit. A demon might get on me." Don't you know if you ask for bread, you won't get a stone? You ask for an egg, you'll not get a scorpion. You ask for fish, you won't get a serpent. You're going to get just what you ask for. Especially if you ask in Jesus' name, you're scared of the devil to death. Well, that old boy's outside the building tonight, somewhere in the parking lot, hiding behind the cars with his knees knocking together, chewing his, grinding his teeth. He's scared to death of what God's going to do in here tonight. While some folks is listening to you, are nodding at you. Not everybody nodding at you is necessarily agreeing with you. The devil knows what's going on. He heard Jesus say, "The man that betrays me is the one I'm going to give a dip sop to." A sop after I've dipped it, nobody paid any attention, but the devil did. They didn't. They let it in one ear and out the other, but the devil was listening. And when old Judas took a dip sop, he said, "That's the one right there, and I have a right to get him." And he jumped in him and possessed him. The devil don't miss a lick nor a trick. I think we all stay on our toes, too. And those disciples was taking the inventory. "Do you think I could really betray the Lord?" It's possible. But the one that really betrays him is the one who ignorantly blunders on through the meeting and pays no heed to what Jesus says. "Who's going to betray you, Lord?" The one I give a sop to after I've dipped it. You know what a sop is? It's a thin wafer used to dip out of a common dish. In fact, you've got all things in common here tonight. You're all going to eat the same spiritual meat. You're all going to drink the same spiritual drink. God's no respecter of person. But the thing was that supper was over with. The Bible says supper was over with. Supper being ended, Jesus now proceeds to wash feet. You know, he don't do the same thing all through the whole service. He's about to change the order of the service again any moment now. You better be smart enough to follow the changing of the order of the service. And when supper's over, don't come up here. "Should you feed me, Brother Freddie? You better get eaten right now while I'm preaching. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now's the time to be listening to the feeding. Supper's going on the table." The meeting gets over. "Brother Freddie, would you pray for me now? I was a little bit too scared to be prayed for while the gift of healing and miracles was operating." "Well, your supper might be over for you." It's when the eating's good. It's on the table. Time to make hay is when the sun shines. Time to strike is when the iron's hot. Time to jump in the pool is when the water's in trouble. Back home, you didn't show up in time for supper. It was either the woodshed or go to bed. Supper was over. He's washing feet. He gets through washing feet. And now he's talking about someone's going to be betraying me. And here is Judas that has got his mind on being a thief and a robber. You don't care a hoot about the poor, the chapter before, chapter 12 of John, said he didn't even want the alabaster box of ointment to be broken upon Jesus' feet because he wanted to sell it for 300 pence and give to the poor. And Jesus said, "You thief, you wouldn't give the poor nothing." He's a thief and he don't care about the poor. Okay. So now, he don't pay any attention to preaching either. I said he don't pay no attention to preaching either. Jesus is teaching and preaching and says, "I'm going to give a fellow a dip sop here any minute now, and he'll be a betrayer." And just because Jesus didn't come flat out name the name Judas, now God's not going to embarrass you. He's not going to humiliate you. If you are afraid of a meeting like this because you're scared the beans will get spilled, or the preacher let the cat out of the bag, or the skeletons will come toppling out of your closet, then you've got plenty to hide. And if you are against the revelation ministry, it is only because you do have something to hide and you haven't got it under the blood and you haven't repented of it yet. It's guilty conscience talking. That's all it is. If you boycott a meeting like this, it's just guilty conscience. Lord of mercy. Just like that Levite that crossed over and looked on the man, and that high priest turned his head the other way. He knew that traveler was laying wounded in the ditch. What Jewish traveler? What revival? What sign gift ministry? Oh, why didn't you tell me I'd attended it? They know what's going on. I said, there's no better advertising than people getting on the phone just telling each other. It's been noised abroad. If you don't see some bigwigs around here tonight, you're wondering what happened to them, and you see they'll show up when the revival's over. Need I say more? If there's anything that'll keep you out of this meeting, now mark this down. If it'll keep you out of this meeting, it'll also keep you out of heaven. It is a spiritual principle. The same paranoia and fear that grips your heart. Ooh, I wonder if I've got the bed covered. I wonder if I've got everything hid away, locked down under. That same trembling is going to be a lot worse at the final judgment. It's the same principle. Now, this is only a mini judgment. If this reminds you of the judgment, thank God, you all need the practice. You can change here tonight at this judgment, but you cannot change at the final judgment. Oh, how wonderful it is that the Lord starts looking in on the heart to make sure that we're getting ready to leave this world. Thank God. Judas pays no attention to whatever is being said, and while Jesus keeps on talking, he dips the salt, passes it to Judas, and Judas takes it and says, "Oh, thank you," glub, 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 swallows it down, and immediately the devil jumps in him because the devil had a right to. He can't do any more nor less than what Jesus, the Word of God, says he can do. He immediately went out and it was night. Went out and slammed the door. And you know what some foolish disciple said? He's going out to buy something for the feast. They weren't listening either. Jesus just got through saying, someone's going to be betraying me. It'd be the one I give a dip sop to. He had no sooner said it and preached on a few more minutes when all of a sudden Judas takes the sop, disappears, and one of the boys says, "Well, he's going out to buy something for the feast." Now, they already knew, if they'd been listening to the chapter before, that Jesus had said, "That man is a thief. He won't buy nothing. He may steal it. Thieves steal. But he's not going to buy nothing. That's why that bag of his is still as heavy as it's always been." Don't ever get caught holding the bag, whatever you do. Hallelujah. And someone else, one other disciple, you know what he says? He said, "Well, he's going out to give something to the poor." Give something to the poor. Hey, we're having a meeting here. Are you getting this? I remember I had an organ player one time, you know, he got a little disgruntled. Hello. And he was really wanting to do some preaching. He hadn't really been trained to preach yet, but right in the middle of a song, he gets down at the organ, starts praying. I said, "Boy, what you doing back there?" He said, well, I'm praying for the meeting, and I'm praying that God will anoint you. I said, if you haven't got your praying done by now, it's too late. We're having a meeting here. The order of the service is we're singing the songs of Zion. Can you understand? Ulterior motive, axe to grind, special interest lobbying group. Say amen. Hallelujah. And here's how it is. How a disciple could say, listen, he's gone off to give something to the poor in the midst of Jesus' teaching? Why, that is completely out of order. I mean, it's not germane to the subject. It has nothing to do with what Jesus is doing at the moment. Now listen, catches, I'm almost through. Talk about have-nots tonight. There they went. Everybody said one thing, then the other, and Judas was swallowing a dipsop and went out and betrayed him. And still nobody knew what went on or what was happening until Judas showed up with the army at the garden. Then it dawns on them. Why does it take so long for spiritual revelation to come across their minds? Amen. In other words, bottom line, we're supposed to pay attention to every word that Jesus speaks. He is the Word of God. If you will watch and listen and adhere to it, you will not miss your cues. You will not miss your signs. You know what God is doing. You will learn how God speaks to you. You've saved your hide many times. Why, Elijah told the king of Israel what the king of Syria said in his bedchamber, and that king of Israel saved his army more than once. Sister said, well, didn't we have a meeting Sunday morning? I said, what happened? She said, oh, it was wonderful. We had 6 messages in tongues, and 7 interpretations, and 8 prophecies. I said, wow, that was a real meeting. Oh, it was so, wished you'd been there, Brother Freddie. And I said, I just never heard anything quite like that for a long time. I said, you mean all that happened? Oh, it certainly did. I said, sister, I'm quite interested. Could you tell me what God said in those 6 messages and 7 interpretations and 8 prophecies? And she did a double take, and she said, what'd you say, preacher? I said, could you tell me what God said in all those messages? She said, what God said? Well, what do you mean what God said? I mean, God does not just speak like that to be beating his gums together. He must have said something to the congregation to make such a wonderful meeting. She said, well, what did God say? Well, God said, well, God, well, tell you the truth, Brother, I don't know what God said. I can't remember a thing he said, but oh, it felt good while it was coming across. Why, I felt goose pimples on my goose pimples. I was getting chills and thrills and trills. I was just getting blessed. Listen, God never filled you with the Holy Ghost just to give you a high. I mean, you have feeling, don't get me wrong, but you're filled with the Holy Ghost to get out there and do something with the power thereof. Raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, preach salvation that actually will save somebody. You have extra power to accomplish. And of course, you get the feeling along with it. Say amen. Ah, so we see it's important to listen to what God says. I didn't mean to get off into Judas there for a minute, but it's easy to get off. Hallelujah. Ye have not sought the honor that cometh from God. Finally, Jesus says this, ye have not believed Moses' writings. They bragged on Moses every Sabbath day in the synagogue. Oh, Moses, 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 Moses. Why, said Jesus, you don't even believe Moses. They said, what do you mean? Moses spoke of my day. Moses prophesied of me. Moses said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me, and him ye will hear, and here I am, and you won't listen. Ye have not believed Moses' writings, therefore. Wow. And if you have not believed Moses' writings, that's a good possibility you won't believe any of the writings. Personally, I want to believe Moses' writings. I want to believe Joshua's writings. I want to believe David's writings. I want to believe the Psalms and the Proverbs and the Ecclesiastes and the major prophets and the minor prophets and the Kings and the Chronicles. I want to believe the Gospels. I want to believe all the epistles. I want to believe the Revelation. Believe the book of Acts in action. I don't believe it all. But I won't believe Moses' writings nor none of the writings if I ever refuse what God wants to send me. It automatically makes me a have-not. And I don't want to be a have-not. I want to be a have. Unto him that hath, shall be given. Unto him that have not shall be taken away, even that which he seems to have, and given to him that hath. I don't know why he took the one talent that was buried from that scaredy cat that wouldn't use it for God's glory and dug it up and gave that one talent to the man that had 10. I don't understand that. But if you want something from God, you've got to have something from God to start with. All I can tell you is 100 times 0 is 0. 1,000 times 0 is nothing. 1,000,000 times nothing is still nothing. Hallelujah. You want something from God, you can have more if you got something. I say tonight, the have-nots are around. But the haves are around too. It's a simple message, and I didn't really mean to go quite this long on it, and I'm through. But I'll say this much about it. Ye have not believed on he whom he hath sent. If ye have not believed on what God has sent, or who God has sent, then don't expect to be anything but a have not. But if you can believe what God sends you tonight, if you can receive what God sent, if you can believe and receive who God has sent, that's what it says. For he whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. But do you believe that God sent this revival? That God sent this message? Simple message, but God sent it. The Syrophoenician woman says, hey, he never told me nothing I wanted to hear, but I sure am glad he's talking to me. Hallelujah. The saying, oh, I'm so rejoicing he even spoke to me. Oh, thank God tonight I'm a have. Hallelujah. Everyone said, praise the Lord. Wave your hand in victory. If you can receive what God sends you, then you'll be a have. If you reject what God sends you right now, you'll be a have not. Brother, I want to have heard his voice. I want to have seen his shape. I want to have his word in me. I want to have searched the scripture and found they speak of him and that I have eternal life. Oh, I want to have come on to him to get eternal life. I want to have the love of God in me. I want to have received he who came in the Father's name. That is, I want to have received the Father's name. And I want to have the honor that comes only from God. And I want to have believed Moses and all the prophets and all the writings of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, like they say in Ohio, from cover to cover, in Massachusetts, from cover to cover, and in Texas, from kiver to kiver. Hallelujah. I want the whole thing. I want to receive it. I don't want to be a have not. I want to be a have. Rise quickly to your feet. I'm going to pray that you become a have. You will stop being a have not. Glory to God. Put your hand up high. Hallelujah. Touch these people now, O God, while the hour here on Wednesday is early. Would you undertake even now and cause all these people to be a have. Hallelujah. Glory to God.